Welcome to the Anti-Pattern Podcast, your ticket to the revolution in digital thread technologies. Please welcome, live from Mannheim, Germany, your hosts, Christian Mucheo and Michael Fenning.
Hello, 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 and welcome again to the Anti-Pattern Podcast here from Mannheim downtown. Together with me in the studio is again Christian Mucheo.
Hello.
My CTO. Thanks again for joining us today. Today will be already our 28th episode of the Anti-Pattern Podcast. And today will be all about people. It sounds very high level if I say this, but all about people. So people we've met, people we are currently collaborating with, right? We want to use this, of course, to update you guys on where we stand and what's new at Elevating Patterns. And there will be a couple of updates that we would like to share with you right in the beginning now. Most importantly, what happened yesterday, basically, this is at least where we announced it, is the new partnership with Rionet, Sebastian Behrendt, who's also a startup, who just founded this company and is our first technology partner, right? Building something, building software together, right? This is what we do with Sebastian. We will talk about this for, let's say, the main part of the day. And as I look out of the window, it's really, really nice in Mannheim, sunny, early summer.
Yeah, according to your shirt.
Thank you. You understood the segue. Thank you very much. So the question to you guys would be, where is this shirt coming from? Do we happen to know where this is coming from?
I think it's GTA.
GTA, Grand Theft Auto. I said Grand Theft Auto a couple of weeks ago to someone, and he said, how do you call this? No one says Grand Theft Auto, it's GTA, idiot. yeah, anyway, so all of us are waiting for the next release of GTA, right? Hopefully, our next release will be earlier than GTA 6.
For sure.
So let's see. So this is Tommy Vergetti, right, from GTA Vice City. And if you see me drowning in the pool, you know what happened, right? So basically speaking, so I fell into that trap again, right? This was an Instagram reel that was, you know, shown to me. And for some reason, I clicked buy. And this shirt is better than the other ones that I have because the buttons are still there, right? And it smells a little funny, but I like it. It fits the environment here in Mannheim, at least now in the early summer. Right. Yeah. And then was one news. One thing in the news that we have to say something about. Even if we said, oh, we don't want to call out one single vendor, right? But it was one news, and especially in Germany, that was a little, I would call, disturbing to us at least. So, Christian, what was that?
Yeah, it was news about SAP. And I would be curious if this news was also available in outside of Germany. So.
Pretty much think so. Yeah.
Give us a comment if it was so. So what the Handelsblatt stated was that SAP is going to close down the API against or for LLMs, which is somehow strange in this era, especially if you say maybe the LLM acts in the context of the user.
Right.
With all his rights and roles and only the visibility of his rights and roles. Right. So it's not understandable for us why to do something like that. The only reason can be weakness and hiding weakness behind a paywall. Because, yeah, maybe it will be opened again for more license charges, whatever.
Yeah, and we have to say we are not 100% sure how it's done, right? Is it just something legally in the terms and conditions where they're not allowed to do it, or is it something that they actually, you know, did to really close down the API, right, for, you know, with some measures? So don't want to go into the technical details, but basically speaking, this is something we would never do, right? We find it unethical. It's customer data. It's not vendor data, right? So closing down APIs, no matter for what, right? Is it in the context of AI agents, or is it just in the context of, you know, third-party tools, right?
Yep.
Story. We would never do that because it's unethical to lock customers in, right? So that's goes without saying. It's for us, it's basically unethical. And the other thing you said, weakness, for me, it's, you know, the sad part is it sounds like a sign of weakness, right? Because if you are an innovative company, if you innovate a lot, right, if you build something new, right, you don't have to hide behind walls, right? Because people will buy your stuff anyway, mm-hmm. no matter if you close and capture and lock in the data of the customer, right? So that's not a good sign, because to me, it sounds like a kind of a last resort, right? You have to do it, but otherwise we will lose our business, right? If that's mm-hmm. the case, it's really, really sad, to be honest. So so we had to say something about this, right? Because obviously our strategy is completely different, right? We will never close APIs down, right? It's as I said, it's unethical. But let's come to the news about people, right? Mm-hmm. One news that we already announced a couple of weeks ago, which is really, really good for us, is we closed our pre-seed round together with one business angel, Oliver Lose, who joins us as shareholder and as a strategic advisor. Oliver came or founded his company, Coristo, a couple of years ago already, and sold it to Zenit AG here in Germany, which is also a SAP partner developing SAP PLM connectors, I guess, to the Dassault world and a couple of other things, and also, of course, running PLM projects. And Oli not just invests in the company, which is really good for us, right? He also helps us with his network and with his knowledge, right? Building first-class software. And Oli also helped us to find the next person that we would like to mention.
Yeah, this is our master thesis student, which is Etienne. And Etienne will work on a very substantial, very important part for the next months.
Yeah.
Because he will prepare and try out all the process and all the things needed for a one-click deployment. Right. So what is a one-click deployment? The idea is that a customer can go to a tool, we call it Cloud Console or Management Console, and can request a new environment or a new developer instance inside an existing environment. And that means, and we want to do that in one click, or maybe it's more clicks, but
two clicks,
three clicks. I don't want to promise the exact number of clicks, but I want to promise is that this should be happening in minutes, not in days or in weeks, in minutes. Yeah. Which means there has to be very much automation in the background.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what Etienne will work on and will propose in a first version. And in this kind or a similar kind, it will go productive on our side if we see that this is working well.
And basically speaking, so that comes together with a lot of architectural implications, right? The one thing is currently, when you look at our tool and we see a demo and when we do a POC together, you have one instance, right? A single tenant, you have one instance. And with help of Etienne and, you know, what we will do out of it and make out of it, we will be able to manage multiple instances together for multiple reasons in one environment, right? As you said, development, test, productive system, right? All of that together with the marketplace. Doesn't mean that he has to completely specify, mm-hmm. but there will of course be a marketplace where you can then download or actually activate in the instance the specific standard application that comes from us or comes from partners, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we come to the partner part in a minute. I wanted to add, this is another great segue, Etienne is doing his master thesis with us till end of summer. And I have been advising a PhD thesis basically up until now. And that was Nico Kasper, who is working for SAP. And he did his PhD on the digital threat, right? Basically speaking, what he did is he wrote down what we are working on, so to say. So we have been working together on the topic, right, for multiple years now. And Nico already agreed to join us here in the podcast studio at some point, right? I guess he's just in the process of handing it in. I read it already, so it's finished. Mm-hmm. And it entered the university. And once that's done, you will be available for a quick chat, right? Potentially, you will be our first guest here in the podcast studio. This is great, right? Unless No, segue. Less, there is another one joining first, and that is Sebastian Behrendt.
Yeah, right.
To talk about that a little bit more, right? So what's that about?
Yeah, so you mentioned it in the beginning that Sebastian Behrendt, who is the founder of Reonet, is our partner. And yeah, this is very, very interesting for us to work with a partner, especially because we are on, what is it in English, on Augenhöhe, so on the same level.
Same understanding.
Yeah, we have the same understanding, we have the same size. More or less, we are some people more than he is, but he is a startup, we are a startup, and we can learn a lot of things from each other. I think he will learn something for his domain-specific application, and we will learn how we integrate domain-specific applications in our environment.
Into the platform, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I know Sebastian for a couple of years already, 2 or 3 years, I think, was it, when I first met him in Karlsruhe. He did his PhD at the KIT, Karlsruhe Institute for Technology, the WBK Institute, right? The Production and Manufacturing Technology Institute, right? I studied actually there, and I heard one or two lectures on that institute when I was studying in Karlsruhe many, many years ago. He will help us, so from a domain perspective, right? He will help us to link to the manufacturing domain, right? So we are not so much experts in what it means to build a manufacturing system, right? We are more on the production, you know, type definition. How do you describe a, you know, industrial product? This is what, right? Not so much how you describe and manage the production itself, right? So his focus is on production and specifically material flow simulation, but a little bit more than just that, right? This is what he's focusing on. And together with him, I guess our benefit is at least two things, right? The domain knowledge on the one end, we need it now for this, right? We need to bring our data down to the manufacturing, down to the shop floor, right? And back, basically, right, to learn from what's happening on the shop floor. And the second thing, as you said, is we will learn from that collaboration what it means to build something on the platform. We've foreseen a couple of things already, right, with our package mechanism that we already talked about, right? But other things as well, and it will definitely be things that are missing, right? And in the process, we want to detail out what does it mean to build something on top of the platform, right?
And
bring it to the customers, right?
Yeah, so where are we?
And I wanted to say something. Sorry, I stole the lines from you. I wanted to say something about how does it fit in our strategy, right? Just to finish that off. We said it many, many times. We are not just a toolbox. Right? Mm-hmm. We're not build something, develop yourself, and you have some components from us, and then everything else you do is your problem, right? This is not what we do. But on the other hand, we are not just a static out-of-the-box tool as well, right? We don't want to go there because we know in PLM you need to be configurable at least, right? Mm-hmm. Some say customizable, which, you know, has a bad connotation in the moment, right? But you need to configure software definitely, right? Because no two PLM installations look the same. No two business processes for engineering and manufacturing are exactly the same, right? So you cannot develop a product and another product in the same way, right? It will be differences. And depending on the company, you're independent on the market you're in, right? If you don't do this, right, you will fail with any big implementations in our view, right? So we don't want to do E or B, right? We want to be exactly somewhere in the middle. We want to bring together the best of both worlds, right? Which is we are configurable. We are configurable standard software, right? This is what we, you know, call the platform. And then on top of the platform, you have standard apps so that you not always have to start from scratch, right? You have some standard components, some standard application that you can just bring into your environment and then modify, right? Modify it. You have 80% already standard, then you add 20% to it and it covers your business process perfectly, right? This is the idea. And that standard applications that can, of course, come from partners, right?
Yeah, for sure. And all what they are doing is also extending the data model, which we've shown a couple of times already that this is working out very well. They will most likely extend the user interface,
right?
And bring their own business logic. Which is a pretty easy thing, I guess, because a partner application from the marketplace will most likely get its own Docker container. And yeah. In there, you have the business logic, and it runs great.
Yeah, and you said it already. So when it comes to configuring the software and make our platform configurable, right, there is at least three dimensions, maybe more, but the main part is three dimensions. UI, right, as we have an automation in there, we are completely model-based, we are, you know, model-driven. If you change the data model, the UI will change as well immediately, right, to some extent at least. So UI is covered and data model, of course, is covered. And this is not new with us, right? This is where no code is coming from, right? We have no code principles. We have a no code modeling engine in there. So that goes without saying. This is something we already see multiple times and there is no problem. You can configure it and you can still upgrade it. No big deal. Business logic, on the other hand, you know, there can be problems if it's handled not correctly, right? And there are certain, you know, maybe drawbacks if you do it in a certain way, or pitfalls that you can fall into, right? So business logic is especially something that we need to handle well, right? And there are multiple options, right, to actually bring configurability also in terms of business logic to the cloud, right? And how exactly are we going to do this is basically something we are working on, where we hope that Etienne is bringing also some ideas to the table, right, that we can handle that, you know, custom business logic versus standard business logic in a certain way, right? And basically speaking, with at least the two options, there may be more than just those two, but there's two options. We can have customer-specific CI/CD pipelines. We already have this, but also customer-specific repos where we see the extensions and the customer-specific business logic in there. Or we can have, of course, the separation of standard business logic versus custom business logic in different containers, right? And then they interact all with your REST API, right? All of that is possible. We did not sort that out completely yet, but definitely what we want to do is bring configurable business logic to the cloud into our platform, right?
Yep.
That is used not just for standard apps, but also then to extend it by the customer, by some consulting firms in the end. Right. So this is what we're aiming at. Did I miss anything?
I think we're good.
Okay. So we covered what we wanted to talk about. So there are multiple people. One additional thing, but I'm not mentioning the name yet. We will be joined by another person later this year, potentially starting September, as executive assistant. So my father finally reached his retirement age. End of this month, and he will be succeeded by someone joining as a working student. We call it executive assistant, sounds a little nicer, but help me and you to run the company. So that will happen in September. So new hire. We don't have to play the new hire alarm, and it doesn't make sense because usually just as developers, right? Not quite a developer yet, right? So funny enough, right? So this is going to happen in September. And then let's see what the rest of the year will bring. The two of us will be out for vacations.
Mm-hmm.
This time really early. I don't want to see or go out too late when everybody else is going, right? And you have these packed beaches. Well, I'm going
in Norway.
Yeah, I'm going to Norway. So that will not, potentially I will not be at the beach in Norway in June. But anyway, so when will you be back?
I will be back mid of July. So hopefully, if not a bear, will catch us in the Yukon territory.
Canada. Yeah. So I wanted to give you some little present, the antique bear spray. I'm not sure.
But, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to travel with it. So we planned to buy it there. Okay. So.
Okay. Good to know. So this is the more challenging stuff. Okay. Anyway. Thanks for tuning in for today's episode. Leave a comment, like what you heard, and talk to you or see you listen in next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.